Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this that I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What should I do? Now that my master has taken the position of steward away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig and too ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' So he called in his master's debtor one by one. In the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down quickly, write one for 50. Then he, to another, the steward said, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. But the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus. One of my colleagues asked me, "Why do you like to run?" I said, "Who says I like to run? You know, before the run, I don't look forward to it because I usually have to go out in the dark and the cold in the morning or in the heat. And I don't look forward. Well, everybody else gets to sleep in. During the run, it's just hard work, pain and suffering. And then after the run, it's soreness and I'm tired." She said, "Then why do you run for?" I says, "I'll tell you exactly. I'll be happy to tell you why I run." So I go out of the church, and I notice right away that the Red Sox fans the night before thought my beautiful lawn that I just mowed is a giant dumpster. So now I got to go around and pick up all the trash. And then I get in the car to go to class because I teach, and I find out that they're doing construction at the corner. And so when the light turns green, nobody moves. And then I get to class, I'm 10 minutes late, and all the students look at me and they're really disappointed to see me because they thought they were going to get the morning off. And then I go to use my PowerPoint, and the students tell me that the whiteboard's not working today, and I work very hard on this PowerPoint. And then after 3 hours of teaching, without being able to use my PowerPoint, I get in the car, I get on the highway, and all I see is a sea of red brake lights. So I'm going to be there a long time. I finally get home. I put on my running shoes. I hit the road. And an amazing thing happens to me. All the just leave my body. And I'm a man of peace and tranquility and calm inside. Now, you don't have to run to have that happen to you. So I had a woman come to me and said, who wanted me to give her a lot of cash and pay for a hotel. And I, of course, I didn't have a lot of that kind of cash on me. So she gave me a lecture on not to be derelict in my duty, my Christian duty. And so she started yelling at me, "You bad priest." Now, while she was doing that, you would think that you would look inside my soul and you would see clouds, storm clouds forming of anger and winds freshening and lightning bolts flashing. But while she was yelling at me, if you opened my heart and my soul at that moment, you would just see sunshine and happiness. How is that possible? Because while she was yelling at me, I was thinking of the next gourmet meal that I was going to prepare and meet with my friends. Now I say this because Paul says in his letter that God loves when we're tranquil, we have peace, we have calm, because that means we're happy. And God doesn't like to look down and see a bunch of sad sacks. He gave us life and wants us to be really happy. Yeah, yesterday I had a great day. So I had a couple weddings, and one of the weddings, the bride was a half an hour late. So I sat there and I listened to the string quartet while we were waiting, because they had that for the wedding. And I got a free concert in the front row, right front row seat. And then yesterday, was the end of Hell Week. And I survived. I made it through the week. Here's the message today from Paul. We have always 100 reasons in a day to be upset, to be sad, to be frustrated or angry. And the Lord knows that. God knows that. He knows it because he promises crosses and tribulations and hardships. He knows that. And that's why God loves it. When we know how to keep the from getting inside of us, he loves when we know how to keep peace and tranquility and to be happy.